Is justice coming to America? Oh boy, I saw this late yesterday and I just couldn't wait to get on the air to share it with you. You know where I stand on the whole COVID pandemic and how things were rushed and how there was fog of the pandemic and people were so busy and so frightened and drastic measures were taken and the people that we trusted and they let us down and they didn't tell us everything that we should have known and they lied and they tried to cover up and now justice is coming. From Paul Gardner on American Thinker yesterday, tens of thousands of American families continue to demand justice for what they believe are the wrongful deaths of loved ones during the COVID-19 pandemic. The states of Texas and Florida have both filed a law brief, a 27-page brief, and have distributed to district attorneys across the country, saying if you want to pursue this, you have our support. They're actually representing 46 families who have had someone seriously injured or have died because of a COVID vaccine. The briefs, the alleged crimes are according to each state's criminal code. The legal briefings filings request that each attorney general thoroughly investigate the evidence of alleged crimes and, if found probable, convene a grand jury, present the evidence, issue criminal indictments, and prosecute the accused to the full extent of the law. The Texas legal brief, for example, filed at the request of 46 next-of-kin Texas families, lists the following accused persons as subjects of a criminal investigation. Anthony Fauci, the ex-director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Cliff Lane, the deputy director, National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Francis Collins, ex-director of the National Institutes of Health, Deborah Birx, ex-White House COVID response coordinator and former director of DOD, HIV research at Walter Reed Institute of Research, also Rochelle Walensky, ex-CDC director, Stephen Hahn, ex-commissioner of the FDA, Robert Redfield, ex-director, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Peter Daszak, president, EcoHealth Alliance, and others. Alleged crimes, capital murder, which is in violation of the Texas Penal Code, murder, manslaughter, trafficking of persons, participation in enterprise through racketeering or unlawful debt collection, by engaging in organized criminal activity, injury to a child, elderly or individual, or disabled individual, and abandoning or endangering a child, elderly individual, or disabled individual, the Penal Code. It's the effort to investigate Anthony Fauci and other accused persons is supported by donations from individuals and organizations, including Flight Life, which is a Mike Flynn PAC. I'm probably sure the Children's Health Defense Organization is a part of this as well. It's important to note here that there's still so much that we don't understand about the origins. The Biden administration is dragging its feet. It's not holding China accountable for any of it. Now, the pandemic is one chapter, which is the virus itself and who was involved in gain-of-function research, with Anthony Fauci denying vehemently that he was ever involved, even though clearly they were messing with different SARS-CoV-2 vaccines. They were trying to create, as far back as 2018, some even say as far back as 2015. And it's no lie, it's verifiable that Anthony Fauci had a biolab in Montana. And they were experimenting on gain of function. They didn't call it that. A rose by any other name is still a rose. Fauci benefited a lot from financially the stocks in Pfizer and other, maybe not Pfizer specifically, but he still gets some amount of money for patents that were created under this program. And so we've got a situation here where the people really do, if there was ever any case of any situation in American history or even in human history, I think most people would argue that we need to know who started the virus, under what conditions, and then the mRNA vaccine rollout. Why was our administration, our government, so hell-bent on forcing people, literally forcing people, to take an experimental vaccine. And we've talked about this issue to death on this program. And I apologize, because I know a lot of people want to move on. They want to get past it. But the problem is, you can't get past something when it's still in motion. And people are still being encouraged by the CDC and by their government and by the pharmaceuticals to continue to go in every 6 weeks, to continue to get a booster for a potential virus that has about as much danger as the common cold. Now, the virus has mutated so much that it doesn't do anything except for rare cases where somebody has a pre-existing condition. But that could be true for anything. Pneumonia, you get pneumonia, and you're an elderly person and you're suffering from advanced COPD. Are we going to force people to start taking an experimental drug for pneumonia? I know that a lot of people who continue to take their boosters, they do it with the utmost confidence, and that's the issue. They have confidence in their institutions. But the fact of the matter is, it's still a drug that's relatively new to the market. I'm talking about the mRNA vaccines. They have not gone through the rigorous testing that the FDA... This is the whole issue behind the RU486, by the way, too. It's the dangers involved in taking the drug. Are they being fully disclosed to the American people? When you sign that consent form before they give you the shot, are they disclosing the actual side effect dangers of the mRNA vaccine, and are they required to? And that's the issue, because we are supposed to trust our institutions. We need to be able to trust our institutions. But when our institutions don't tell us the truth because they're afraid that we may not want to take their vaccine, that raises some ethical issues. And when you go to your doctor and you say, you know, I took your vaccine and I'm feeling a little off. I just heard a tragic story about this very thing. And your doctor will not have an open and honest dialogue because they are afraid that they're going to get pressure from the CDC or the health agency for not following a narrative to even suggest that there's such a thing as an adverse effect. If you go to your doctor and you ask them, is there any chance I could have any, you know, all the skin rashes that I'm getting, any chance it could be tied to my fifth booster, which is maybe compromising? Oh, no, it's not compromising anything. You're good. 100% safe. No problems. Really? Have you heard of anybody else having? Nope, no problems. Next. That's not the kind of health care that we are entitled to, the richest nation on the country. We put more money. I mean, these doctors and people in the healthcare industry, they get paid very handsomely, as they should. They pay a lot of money to go to those schools. It's not easy to go through medical school and to put in the hours and the labor. It's a lot of work. They should make a good living. Nobody's opposed to that. But we, as their patients, need to have absolute 100% surety that we're going to get the best possible care and all the transparency that is required. And that's what this is about. Nothing more. All right, you're listening to Speaking Out. Jim Watkins will continue. Politics next up.